Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're still working through the Sermon on Mount. Quite a few weeks to go on this yet. And we're going to look at a small passage today where Jesus talks after talking about being salt and light. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota or not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We read today a passage, and it throws up the question straight away: is why would people think that Jesus has come to abolish the law? I mean, he was a good Jewish man, born into a Jewish family, and was considered a rabbi. He was often called rabbi by the people around him. And Jesus is really addressing a potential misunderstanding, because what he's about to do is, and we'll get onto this next week, is he's about to bring some laws, he's about to bring some teaching on some aspects and areas of life. And they are radical teachings. Radical in some contexts, even for our day today, but especially in those days. And so his radical teachings were really upsetting the Jewish establishment. And so he basically says, look, I haven't come to destroy them. Now that word destroy is really the word that's used for dismantling a building. So in other words, to completely remove it. It's katalsai, can't quite say it. but it's basically to remove it, to get rid of it all down to the ground and destroy it. And Jesus says, I haven't come to do that. I have come to fulfill it. Now, one of the main criticisms of Jesus in his life was that he was breaking the law. As we go through Matthew, as you've read through the Gospels, you'll often hear the Pharisees accusing him of breaking the law, of saying, well, you know, your disciples, they're plucking corn on the Sabbath, you're healing on the Sabbath. You know, they there were accusations of him breaking the law, that he didn't keep the laws of ritual purity, and the laws that the Pharisees and the scribes had laid down. So we shouldn't be surprised that people are accusing him of this fact. In fact, it was the basis on which they condemned Jesus, wasn't it, when he went to the cross, was that the false accusations were about him basically being a lawbreaker. They were false accusations. And even today, in some Jewish circles, Jesus is still condemned because he's not considered to have followed the ritual laws and the ritual purity. And it's quite interesting because some of these laws and rules that were put in place, they're based upon the Levitical laws that are there. But some of you might know that in Jerusalem there's the Golden Gate or the Eastern Gate, which is all bricked up. And the prophecies say that Jesus is going to walk through this gate. Now, Suleiman the Great, in 15-something, I think it was, he was a Muslim man. He redesigned Jerusalem. He rebuilt the walls. But for some reason, he didn't destroy this part of the wall. He actually just bricked it all up. But what he did is he put a Muslim cemetery in front of it, because no rabbi would walk through a cemetery because you would become unclean. But isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't follow those ritual and those laws about purity? And so when it was almost like an affront to say, there's no way Jesus, the Messiah, I mean, the Jewish people believe, they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They believe the Messiah is going to come and walk through this Eastern Gate, the Golden Gate. And it was like Solomon the Great, almost as a sort of sticking his fingers up at the Christians, saying, I'm going to brick it up. And I'm going to stick a cemetery in front of it, because there's no way the Messiah, who needs to be religiously and ritually pure, is going to walk through a cemetery to come into Jerusalem. We shall see. We live in days of biblical prophecy. So Jesus is going to introduce something that we would, what he calls it, fulfillment. You see, Jesus was about to give laws, and we're going to read those at some point. They're called the antithesis, but they are based upon what the kingdom is all about. And the, Jesus is condemned as being this lawbreaker, but he's about to give these laws that even surpass the Jewish laws. So in giving new laws, that he didn't want them to think that he was basically writing off all the old stuff, because he wasn't doing that. What he's doing is he's doing this fulfilling. And Jesus is saying that he's bringing the law and their prophets to their intended goal. He's not repeating them. He's not negating them. He is bringing them to their sort of destination. And it is important, because I think some Christians think that we are the Christian faith, and it is separate from Judaism, but that's not how the early church saw it. Being a Christian in the early church was just, they thought themselves as understanding the Messiah, but still following Judaism, still following part of those laws. But what they thought was that the church was the fulfillment of Judaism. So that's what they were thinking at that time. And so Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He fulfilled the prophecies, but he also restored the law in a way that something that was always intended to be. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was imagining, just think about a relay race. And imagine God almost gives the baton to Adam at the start of creation and says, there you go, Adam, this is my will and my plan for you. A baton has been handed on down through the generations, through prophets and through those prophets of going on, carrying this baton of God's revelation. We finally get to Jesus, who picks up all of those batons, all of those things, and he runs to cross the finishing line. He runs not by abandoning the baton, but by taking that revelation, saying, I am fulfilling this. That's what Jesus is doing. And so we're not called to return to Judaism, because it is true, today we are a separate religion, if you want to call that. I mean, it's the true religion. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, Hope Church is the true Christianity. Yeah, I think that that's a mistake when churches say we're the only church that has got it right. We've all got things that perhaps were not always right. But Christianity, Jesus Christ, him crucified and resurrected for our sins, that is very separate from Judaism. Very, very separate from Judaism. And we see in the Acts and the writings of St. Paul's with the apostles, they quickly came to understand that Jesus was fulfilling Judaism, and that what Jesus had bought was something very, very new and different. A new way of doing things. So for us, to go back to Jewish practices, that's to take a step backwards. That was never intended. That's to backward theologically, but backward as well in our salvation and our spirituality. Because Jesus came to fulfill the law. So we don't need to fulfill it. Now, there are some movements, and they're gaining popularity, where some Christians have begun to try and re-sort of capture that early Christianity, like the Hebrew Roots movement and things like that. And this really is a bit of a mistake theologically. Because Jesus fulfilled the law. We don't need to go back to it. Now, I understand that, say, Messianic Jews who become Christians, they may still follow some of their practices, but there's no logic for us as Western Christians to start to go back to that. It really doesn't make sense, because Christ fulfilled the law, and it means that we don't need to fulfill it any longer. Sorry, we don't need to observe it any longer. We don't need to observe the laws of ritual purity. He bought liberation. He bought freedom from slavery. He bought the fulfillment of the law of Moses and then gave us his laws that were intended for and needed a saviour to carry them. The forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, as we sung about this morning. You needed the Levitical laws and the sacrificial system to have your sins forgiven. But we don't need that now, because Jesus fulfills that for us. So what is the purpose of returning to the observance of Jewish laws. It just doesn't make sense. Now, I know some people like to think that they are being like the early church, where they're keeping these laws and the rest of it. But we have to remember that the early church, as we see in Acts, soon moved away from these ritual purity laws. They understood what it meant to believe in Jesus Christ. And they didn't keep the Jewish ritual laws, and nor should we. And nor should we go back to them. It's the fulfillment of Judaism, because in Judaism we see that the law talking about important things like loving your neighbour, not putting an obstacle in the way of the blind, not mocking the deaf behind their back, taking care of the elderly, taking care of the orphans and the widows. And these are the very things that Jesus picks up on and talks about too. He brings those forward from the Old Testament Judaism, and he says, although I fulfilled the law, as Christians, you are still to do these things. Over the years and over the centuries, we could say that the Jews particularly have become fixated on these laws of ritual purity. And in Jesus' time, they really had got this fine art down for ritual purity. They had tons of rules about what they could do and what they couldn't do, which is why they questioned Jesus on certain things about eating and washing hands and those kind of things. And all of these ritual laws, these observing these laws that the Pharisees made, as we know, they are all focusing on our external appearance, what we do, how we do these things, whether we follow those laws. But it's not about the inner cleansing, the inner purity that Jesus Christ wants to bring. And this is what Jesus is trying to do. He's trying to restore the purpose of the law in the first place. If you look at the law as it was given way back in Exodus, it was quite simple, and it's been added to and added to and added to and added to. And so even to the point that there are things like you can't start a fire on the Sabbath, because that's considered to be working. And if you had a query or something you needed to challenge, you would take it to a rabbi and they'd discuss it and they'd come up with a new law that they would write down and we'd have to follow. But see, Jesus is saying he hasn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. He's come to fulfill the law of Moses. And the passage shows us that although Judaism was correct, it was correct for its time and in its season. It was partial and it was incomplete until the Messiah arrived. Now, Jesus says that his law will not pass away. Why can he say that? Because he is the fulfillment of it. Jesus Christ doesn't pass away. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive now as he was then. And so his teachings won't pass away. And so when Jesus says, whoever, and it's a strange way of writing it, says, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus here is not talking about the Jewish laws of ritual purity and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the rest of it. Now, what he's talking about here is about what he's about to present. He's about to give us some laws. If you read on in your chapter of Matthew, there's laws around divorce and adultery and other things. We'll come on to those. But that's what he's about to do. He's about to teach these. And he says, if people don't do this, they are least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, least in the kingdom of heaven, that throws up all kinds of questions, because it sounds like, well, you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, right? If you're going to be the least in it. But, you know, somehow you're going to be less important. But that's not actually what it means. What Jesus is saying, and it's a wording and a phrasing, and it's not very clear in our English translations, but he's saying a person who does not follow the things that Jesus is saying will not be in the kingdom of heaven. That's as clear as day as you read the Greek text interpretation. He's saying anybody who relaxes or doesn't teach these things, they will not be in the kingdom of heaven. Remember, he's not talking about the commandments of the law of Moses or the ritual purity that were established by the Pharisees. He is talking about what he's about to propose. He's talking about the Beatitudes and what he's about to propose. And he's saying, these are the important things. This is how we are to live our lives as Christians. And if you teach others not to observe these things, then he says you too will be excluded. You will be least in the kingdom of heaven. The commandments of Christ show that when Christ is saying here, he's saying that I'm about to teach you something that's very important. In fact, everything we have that Jesus said is important. Because he also says, doesn't he, that not a dot, not a iota, or not a dot. It's like the teeniest, tiniest thing we should ignore. Sometimes the translators jot or tittle. And it's talking there about the teeniest markings of the Hebrew alphabet. An iota is the smallest letter in Greek. It's a tiny little, it's like our I, and it's derived from the Hebrew word yod. It's the smallest word in the Hebrew language as well. And then the dot, or the tittle, is a small distinguishing mark. It's like the dot that you put above, say, a lowercase I. That's what it's called, a dot, right? That's what it is. And Jesus is saying, you know, not one of these things will pass away. I haven't come to fudge it or to mix it up or to do it. No, he's saying, exactly as it was written, I have fulfilled it, and I'm giving you this new law. And the least, you have to follow these rules, otherwise you will not be in the kingdom of heaven. You imagine if you had the word bat. If you change the smallest letter like B to a C, you get cat. Completely different. Totally different animals. Or if you had on the T, you missed out the little bar that crosses it. It wouldn't look like a T. That's how small the detail is. Jesus is saying, not a jot or a tittle. Every tiny little piece of it is important. I fulfilled it. And every tiny little piece of what I'm about to give you is important. And we need to do the same thing. This means there's nothing unimportant in what Christ teaches. All of what he says is incredibly important to us, even down to the last little detail. Jesus emphasizes the enduring authority and the completeness of God's word, even down to its smallest little instruction. Now, this really would have resonated with the Jewish listeners, and particularly those who were very, very into writing law. That's why they called scribes, because they would write the law. And he says, if in any way anyone disbelieves what Christ is saying, even to the extent of one tiny little dot or iota, you'll be condemned. That's quite a high standard that Jesus is setting for us. So the Beatitudes and what's about to come, we shouldn't minimize any of it. We shouldn't compromise any of it. It always amazes me because Jesus is going to come on and talk about divorce in this next part. It always amazes me when you hear people saying, well, God told me to leave my wife. Jesus said, any little dot or iota. That's what he's saying. And he spoke so strongly about this. When he says you will be called the least, it means you're going to be outside of the kingdom. You see, we can't believe just in the big things of Jesus, the miracles and all those nice things, but then not believe in things like when he says, I am the Son of God the Father. You can't do that. It's all in or not in, is what Jesus is saying, even to the tiniest little thing. But he also says, if we keep these commandments and teach them to others, we will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Well, if least means you're not going to be in, then great means you are going to be in. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I'm fulfilling the law by being here, and I bring its fulfillment and the new, not the new rules, but a way of living now in light of the Messiah's presence. Now in verse 20, Jesus says something that would have been absolutely shocking to the people listening in that day. Now remember, righteousness is a big theme in Gospel of Matthew. He says, for unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's shocking, especially to the disciples, because they're just beginning to follow Jesus. Remember, this is the Sermon on the Mount. He's called them. They've started to follow him. They are really sort of beginning to get into or understand what Jesus is trying to say. And they're probably thinking, How can we exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? These guys were held up and lauded as being the sort of authoritative people of their day. How can we exceed that, they were probably thinking. They kept all of these sort of small laws that they had created, the laws of ritual purity, the Sabbath, the regulations, and how that you could associate with other people. The Pharisees thought they were the most religious people of all people. So how is it that you could exceed these people? Even the Jewish people at the time would look at them and say, oh, those people, they are really, really religious. They really got it right. And even today in Judaism, there is still this understanding that the closer you keep the laws or the rules, the more holy you are and the better Jew you are, particularly the Hasidic Jews and the real ultra-Orthodox Jews. That's what they do. They believe by following these rules, by following these laws, they get close to God. And Jesus is telling them that their man-made rules of ritual purity is not the requirement for the kingdom of heaven. And so the disciples and those other Jewish people that were listening, they would have been astonished. Jesus is basically saying, these guys, they think they're right, they think they've got it right, and you think they've got it right, but the reality is they haven't. It's not about the silly keeping of thousands and thousands and thousands of little rules. Jesus explains that if the Pharisees and the scribes' righteousness only consists in following rules, then even they won't make it to the kingdom of heaven. And the same is true for us. We make our own Pharisaical rules in some kind of funny, strange way. Rules about fasting, or rules about tithing, or rules about evangelism, or we think that there are things that are expected of us that we have to do, otherwise we're not a good Christian. But if we start to treat it like a rule, we're not transformed. All we're doing is we're just conforming to the world's way of doing things. If you want to be religious, then you have to do this way and write the rules down this way. But we're not to be conformed to the world. We are to be shaped and formed by Christ. Now, those things matter. I'm not saying they don't matter, and we should do them, but we shouldn't be doing them as a rule. Well, how many hours witnessing did you do this week? Oh, well, you haven't followed the rules. Let's make a rule. That the rule's got to be you've got to give 10% of your income, that you've got to, I don't know, preach 3 hours a day or whatever it might be, or you've got to pray for 2 hours a day. If you turn it into a rule, it loses its impact, its effectiveness. The warning is that we need to be transformed from the inside, because the Messiah brings that message and he brings this inner cleansing to us. Now, we might feel that God's called us individually to do something that he hasn't called someone else to do. So he might have called you to pray for 4 hours a day for, let's just say, the nation of Israel. And that's great. But it doesn't mean he's called me to do it. Now, I am to pray. That's what he says. But he doesn't put a time limit on it. Jesus said, worship me. He didn't say how. So, well, you've got to have an organ to worship Jesus. No, he didn't say that. He said, worship me. Well, you can only worship God if you got to Qatar. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, worship me. That's the kind of thing, that's what we're trying to say, is let's not put rules upon it that bring snares to other people. Because that's not helpful. You see, these Pharisees, they considered themselves righteous because they were going through the motions and following their rules and ticking their boxes and making sure they were doing the right things. They had these external laws of ritual purity, and yet inwardly they were corrupt. That's why Jesus turned the tables over and things like that. He could see they were corrupt. They were doing it to keep the people in control. And so these laws that Jesus is about to... And again, I don't like to use the word laws, because I think that puts too... That we should put great emphasis on the words, but it almost puts a too greater emphasis that we turn them into something that's legalistic. But the teaching that Jesus is about to bring, and we called it the antithesis, is we're going to see the kind of righteousness that Jesus is talking about. It's a righteousness which is inside, a righteousness of the heart. It's about inner purity. It's not about external purity. It's not about having a set of laws and saying, well, you follow the laws really correctly. It's if we have that kind of righteousness, this inner purity that's inside of us, that's when Jesus says we can enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus isn't just asking for more rule following, and he's not setting up a whole set of new rules, saying, well, we don't like their rules, so I'm going to set a new set of rules, and you have to follow these rules. That's not what Jesus is doing. What he's asking for is a deeper, heart-based sort of inner purity, righteousness of the heart. And that's only possible with and through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Which is why I said that he fulfills the law, which was an external thing that God had given, but then he brings fulfillment and he becomes inside of us through the Holy Spirit, so that we can then bring about these new rules that he's going to bring, this new standard. He's not asking for more rules. But Jesus does say the smallest details matter. So it is important that we do some of these things. And sometimes they are things that are no one else ever sees. But they matter. Jesus' teaching in this passage we read clarifies that his mission was not to abolish the law and not to abolish the prophets, but to fulfill them in a way that transcends external observance. He challenges his listeners and us today to recognize that true righteousness is not about following a set of rules. It's not about maintaining some sort of outward purity, but it's a transformation of the heart by the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment Jesus brings is a completion of the law's intent, but it's also a calling to a higher standard. Now, we'll come on to it, but Jesus says, you shouldn't commit, the law says you shouldn't commit adultery, but Jesus says even if you look at a person and lust after them, you have broken the law. His law is, his standard is much higher than the law ever was. Jesus, it brings a righteousness rooted in love, with integrity and a genuine relationship with God. And it's a plea today not to return to the righteous religious rituals that perhaps some churches do present today. As followers of Christ, we're not called to return to those, but we're to embrace the freedom and fullness found in Jesus Christ. Every detail of Jesus' teaching matters. Not because we should turn it into some sort of legalistic burden, but as a pathway towards holiness and our inner peace and our inner transformation. You see, in Christ, the law and the prophets find their ultimate purpose, pointing us towards a righteousness that surpasses anything we could ever write down. Even if we spent the rest of our lives writing down laws and rules to follow Christ, Jesus and his Holy Spirit coming living in us surpasses all of that in an instant. What comes from our heart is what matters. And Jesus says, don't turn it into legalism. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And that's really important, particularly when we look at some of the laws and rules that established churches have made today, and they become burdensome to people. Well, I can't do that, or I can't do this, or I feel the weight. No, Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And these things are simple. It's just us that complicate it. And so Jesus is calling us to this new, deeper understanding of him. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you said that you haven't come to abolish the law of the prophets. We thank you, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit and through that cleansing you bring through your precious blood, that, Lord, you cleanse us so that we don't have to, Lord, have this outward sort of appearance of being pure. But, Lord, we are pure because you've cleansed us internally. Lord, we commit ourselves to you afresh, and we ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, not to dismiss or belittle anything you say, but to follow it and to, Lord, follow you faithfully to every jot and tittle. In Jesus' name. Amen.